Welcome back. Welcome in to the Lion's Share podcast. We've got one last regular season rodeo going down in Detroit versus the NFC North foe, the Minnesota Vikings. Last game of the regular season as the Lions try to finish strong with 12 wins. Some people would put the asterisk and say they already have 12 wins, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to lead by example from Dan. He says, controlled fury, pure octane fuel from here on out, and bulletin board material is what they're turning it into. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Andrew, right off the bat. What does controlled fury mean to you?
I think that means just executing plays to the full stability, and I think Brian Branch is a prime example of controlled fury on this team as well.
Mitch?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I just think it's almost, I'm going to pull a U-Ben and talk myself up here. It's almost like when we were texting in the group and you said like, I don't understand why you're so calm. Like, I need to know why you're so calm. I think I had accepted it so fast because there was nothing that was going to change the result that it's like, this is fuel from here on out. Like, this is what they needed. And I texted you guys, no more of Dan saying like, sometimes you just got to get smacked in the mouth. Okay, now it was stolen from you. So time to go get yours back. It really is controlled fury. It's pure octane. Where I got the ski mask shirt, I texted that person and I said, controlled fury, put it on a shirt, charge $100. I'll buy all of them.
100%. Yeah. I still don't know how you were that calm. I need to do some research into the mind of Mitch, cause I'd love to have that ability. Do you do yoga? I mean, what is your secret?
I got more and more upset as the evidence came out that we got absolutely jobbed. I got more and more frustrated, but then it all just came back to like, there's nothing we can do. Like the best part of all of this is usually this happens and it's like a 2 second in the highlights. Oh, this was a weird call. This is all people have talked about all week because it's the Cowboys and that's all people talk about, but for better. Like, if the Lions need to be the martyrs, then great. Like, they've been doing it, and now they're going to get a little recognition. So, you move on.
Long way to say control what you can control, I think is what you're saying there. And so that's it. We're done talking about that. We're not going to put that to bed. And we're on to week 18 and on to week one of the NFL postseason. So we're going to talk about Lions, Vikings, NFL week 18. We'll get you caught back up on week 17 since we recorded early. We'll breeze through week 17, anything notable, and then we'll talk about week 18. We'll round out our records recap, and we'll talk at the end of the show, college football playoffs semifinal recap with the college football expert, and give you a little finals preview. And I think Tommy's going to include some of that college football talk into Sunday's episode for you folks that don't listen to the Wednesday edition, and just so you get coverage of it there. So, last thing before we talk Lions Vikings, and I should have included this just a minute ago, but this was talked about on the St. Brown's podcast, and they had Aiden on this week. This came out today. Aiden said this, quote, "This is only going to motivate us if we play Dallas again in their place. There's so much confidence knowing we should have won that game." And then St. Brown followed it up with, "I just want to run through a brick wall. I'm ready." So there you go. There you have it. All right. On that note, chapter closed, Lions, Vikings. We had a couple quick hitter things to talk about before we talk about the matchup, and that is Isaiah Buggs is no longer a Lion. That's sad. We hate to see him go, but we kind of knew this was coming. A couple guys returning from IR. There were something had to give. The other one that was gone is gone is Bruce Irvin. No longer we thank him for his service. Thank Buggs for their service. As well as Kabinda gone too, but I digress. We move on, and we've got a couple injury updates for you before week 18 here, and that is no practice today for Jameson Williams. We're dealing with that ankle. Taylor Decker sat out practice today, and so did Brock Wright. Limited practice. Sam Laporta with the ankle as well. James Houston back at practice for the first time. That's great to see. Not going to play Sunday, though, it sounds like, from Dan. And then Aleem McNeil, also great to hear, back at practice. He's a little bit more hopeful. May see him in action on Sunday. And then full practice, we had CJ Gardner-Johnson back, and looks like he is also hopeful to make the action on Sunday and hopefully have what they're calling quote-unquote a tune-up game against the Vikings. Ragnow, also a full participant, as well as Cam Sutton, who was dealing with a toe in the Cowboys game. So that's the updates on the injuries. Dan said it, and we'll see what actually happens. But Dan says no resting of the starters. And I'm assuming, Mitch, you put Lovett in here for this. So you guys reacting pretty positively? Nope, sorry, it was Andrew. So you feel pretty good about the starters playing in this one? You think it's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Love that. I mean, we'll get to it. It's one of my poes. But, you know, just getting together, getting yourself right, using that fuel. I just don't think it's a time to throttle down. You can only throttle up from here.
Only throttle up. I like that. All right. Mitch, any thoughts? I know I think you said only if somebody's really injured.
Yeah, that's also in my pose. It's just if someone is injured, even remote, like JMO is a perfect example. Have we heard anything on Laporta?
He was a limited participant in practice today. Seems like the ankle's okay enough. And Dan didn't really hint yes or no on him playing Sunday, but I would say it's probably 60-70% he's playing.
Yeah, and maybe you just put Laporta in a limited fashion. I mean, pretty clear they want Mitchell to maybe be involved, so maybe we get Mitchell a little more playing time. But, yeah, I mean, I think if someone's banged up, don't play him. Or, again, in the case of Laporta, maybe you throw him out there in a limited fashion. You bump Mitchell up to first team. Laporta's, like, third team, and you do it that way. But other than that, yeah, I mean, it's a tune-up game. It really is.
Does it ever feel weird to say somebody's name that also happens to be your first name?
No, there's a lot of greats. I know you don't have that, but like there's a lot of greats. Mitch's, Mitchell's, so I'm just used to it.
You just Johnson then?
Sometimes. Sometimes it feels that way. I don't know if I'm the only one. I know you guys feel the same. I love him, but there are times when I think it's like a toxic relationship with him where it's like he's so intoxicating, but then there are some times where he's just infuriating.
Yeah, very hot and cold. Yeah. And then you got Aaron Glenn as the other coordinator, and he's just kind of mess sometimes. We don't get any, he's a little bit more in the center.
Yeah, let me weigh in on something really quick. I noticed the glasses. Really? They were out and about, they were bright. I also am going to start paying attention to that. I noticed them. I really did.
I can't appreciate that more. I thought I was taking crazy pills. I swear either the week before or 2 weeks ago that he had a different accent color on the arms of his glasses. And I thought I was taking crazy pills. I thought, man, maybe he's just a Mason Blue fan because that's what colors they were. But I don't know. It's weird.
It's on my radar.
I guess it's on mine, too. I'll have to start watching for it and see what he brings out on Sunday against the Vikings. All right, let's talk posts. We hinted at these. Mine, I will go first. Get back on track for me and give yourself something good to feel going into wildcard weekend and keep those boys healthy. Maybe we'll see a little bit of Teddy and maybe a little bit of Hendon.
We've talked about health. For me, Vikings have had a QB carousel. Mullins is going to get the start here. Get two or three turnovers. Just give the defense something to feel good about. Keep them under 10 points. I think if there's a positive out of last weekend, it's the defense showed up. So outside of controlled fury and pure octane, if you're in the NFL, you saw the Lions defense put on a game in the Vikings house, or in the, I'm sorry, the Cowboys house, and hold that offense, which I believe was averaging 40 points per game at home this season, to 20 points. I mean, put the NFL on notice again.
Absolutely. Similar, I want Aleem and CJ. Hopefully they're going to play, or else this isn't going to make a ton of sense. But I want them to come back, get ready, get to play with the defense overall, get that flow of the game back. Maybe Aleem get a sack. That would be a nice welcome back for him. And then on the other side of the ball, offense just unleash. You know, you got hosed out, unleash. And put enough of a distance between them that we're going to see Teddy Bridgewater in his final. He said he's not going to be coming back. So his final send-off, which most likely won't see him in the playoffs. So this could be his last opportunity. Would love to see it for him.
Love that.
Would love that for Teddy. I would also love to see if Jameson plays. And, you know, he's on the injury report, so who knows. But I'd like to see him establish that deep ball again like they did against the Cowboys. Goff to J-Mo. Let's do it some more. Let's build that chemistry. And I think it's a good opportunity here at home against the Vikings. And the Lions put up 30 points in this last one. They won 30-24 just a couple weeks ago in Minnesota's house. So Nick Mullins is going to be back at quarterback now. They've gone back around, like Mitch alluded to, the carousel is now landing on Nick Mullins. He had 411 yards in the last matchup against the Lions. So what do you guys think? You think over 350 or under 350 for Nick Mullins in this game?
Give me the under.
Hammer the under. This defense doesn't forget.
Yep. And I think it's at home. Or I know it's at home, so I think that benefits them as well. So, Mitch, you want to give us your score prediction?
I'm on Lions 24, Vikings 9. Like I said, I think the defense would be a huge, huge game if they can keep the Vikings below 10. So I'm going to stick to my Poe. And Lions 24, I mean, I do think the offense is going to come out, but wouldn't surprise me at all if the game's in hand, if we do see some rotational guys get in and they take their foot off the gas a little bit.
All right. I've got a higher scoring affair. I've got Lions 38-17 over the Vikings. I think I think it's going to be a little wider margin and a little more points from the Lions. But I do think the Vikings are going to get some garbage time scores.
Ben, I'm also in the ballpark of your total score there. I got Lions 42. Have that offense get in the driver's seat. Like I said, give Teddy a send off. The Vikings 12. I want the defense to keep the Vikings out of the end zone, make them live with the field goal for the day.
Yeah, I love that. You guys both hovering around that 10-point margin. Lions have very rarely held teams under 10 points, and this would be a huge statement, not necessarily a statement, but a huge mark for them to hit milestones-wise in the last game of the year, the 1 week before the playoffs when things really start to matter. So, yeah, I'm hopeful, but I feel like the Vikings are going to get a garbage time score too, and that's going to make us get this margin look a little worse. So, regardless. All right, you guys, anything last thoughts against the Vikings here in week 18?
Let's just have a calm Sunday. You know, like let's end the regular season low stress. Let's not do anything crazy. I mean, it kind of is what it is at this point because for all intents and purposes, looks like we're locked into the 3 seed. But let's just have some fun.
Yeah, this is a non-diaper game.
I would hope so. I would sure hope so. All right, Mitch just talked about it. Let's talk about the playoff picture. It looks like they're going to be the 3 seed, possibly an outside chance at the 2 at this point. And it looks like it's going to be the Packers or the Rams, which we predicted the Rams several weeks ago. The NFL probably wants that matchup, although with how weird this week 18 is going to be as far as who's playing, who's not, who knows? The Seahawks could jump into, or even the Saints or the Buccaneers. So it's a weird scenario, but it's looking more than likely it's going to be the Packers or the Rams, but could be the Seahawks, could be the Saints or the Bucks. If the Packers and the Seahawks lose, it's Saints or Bucks, which is crazy to say. And that would also require the Rams to, I don't know, the Rams to win. I don't know. The Lions to win. I don't know. Anyway, Browns are a good team. Could you guys imagine a Browns versus Ravens AFC Championship, Flacco versus old team?
You couldn't get more polar opposite quarterbacks.
True.
But it would be awesome.
More ways than one.
It would be nice to see the old man, but Lamar is playing some he's playing some good football. So I don't know. That would be a great game.
You guys feel like anybody has a chance against the Ravens right now?
49ers. I mean, being understanding of what happened, I think you play a team twice, it's different. And every team's bound to have their hiccups. I mean, every team's bound to do that. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan is the type of guy to make the same mistakes twice. And if they meet in the Super Bowl, you got to imagine every single offensive weapon on the 49ers is going to get the ball. And I'm not sure the Ravens can keep up, because if you key Lamar and Zay Flowers, I think you can do a lot better job, but
yeah,
it would be a good 100%. Game regardless. Unless you mean in the AFC, then no, I don't think that's so. What I think meant, you could but... just get... Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped way ahead. Yeah, just give the Ravens a bye until the Super Bowl. What are we doing?
All right. Andrew, any thoughts?
No, I mean, honestly, even if you do shut down Lamar, correct me if I'm wrong, one of, if not the top scoring defense in the league, defense kind of gets overlooked with Lamar being so good. And they seem to be consistently hurt, which is the scarier part of it.
Yeah, don't have a lot of guys. I think they've got, I don't know how many injuries, but give them basically a double bye week here with a game that's meaningless against the Steelers. Give those first string guys a rest in this one, and then plus a bye week. Could be looking at an even more dangerous Ravens team, which is scary just to think about on paper. But it's the playoffs. It's the NFL. Anything can happen. But the Ravens sure do look like that team. They're scary and the team to beat for sure in the AFC, if not the whole NFL. All right, week 17. Since Andrew and I didn't cover it in our last episode, since we had a little New Year's Eve festivities going cray-cray, we can gloss over these. Browns beat the Jets. Ravens beat the Dolphins. I just talked about them. They put up 56 points. It's the purple pants. The power of the purple is crazy. But the Dolphins did lose Nick Chubb in this one. That's going to hurt him.
Hopefully my only commentary on like anything as we talk about the games. Dolphins fans can suck a giant bag of whatever Andrew's been squeezing, his little stress ball there. The fact that these Dolphins fans have come out this week and whined and complained because the Ravens ran up the score, you hung 70 on the Bills. What are we talking about?
Broncos.
I don't know if you guys have seen that, but Dolphins fans just like, classless Ravens. Are you out of your skulls? You forget what you did earlier in the season? Stop. Stop it.
Broncos, not Bills, but...
Broncos, whatever. Same fucking thing.
Stop the count.
Bills beat the Patriots. Bears beat the Falcons. Texans beat the Titans. Colts beat the Raiders. Jaguars beat the Panthers. Rams beat the Giants. But that one was a little bit closer than I would have ever thought it. And it was an insane punt return for the Giants down the stretch. But then they go for two with like 3 minutes left. Thought that was a little curious. Felt like that was way too early to go for two if you're the Giants and Daboll. I know they're just trying to make something happen. They're obviously eliminated. But I was a little worried there for old Stafford down the stretch. Great. No thoughts from the guys. All right. Cardinals, Eagles. This one's going to have thoughts, surely, because we love to talk about Tirianni. Huge revenge game for Gannon with the win over his old team here. Obviously, the old coordinator for the Eagles, now the head coach of the Cardinals. But a huge, huge W. And the Eagles have some serious problems. I don't know if you guys saw, but they've got some locker room issues surrounding. Most importantly, it sounds like A.J. Brown, the drama-filled wide receiver it is.
Throw the ball.
Eagles have... Yeah, see, I work with an Eagles fan. We were talking about this. How this offense is not producing with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on opposite sides of the field. We know that DeAndre Swift is a high ceiling, low floor kind of guy, but still he's back there. I think what you're going to see after the season is Sirianni is the only person, coordinator or above, that keeps their job. I think all the coordinators are gone. It's like Patricia, whatever that dunce is doing, he's going to be gone. Yeah, I mean, they're going to clean house other than Sirianni. And if they have a season like they did, like they're having this year, I think Sirianni's gone next year. If they lose to the Giants and get bounced in the first round, Sirianni might be gone. Honestly, Philadelphia fans are crazy.
Isn't it crazy the NFL, like, remember I guess a couple weeks ago they beat the Chiefs, the Eagles did, and everybody was like, oh, you know, here the Eagles looking pretty strong, they win in Arrowhead, they get to get somewhat of a revenge game against the Chiefs, and then it's like, oh, the Chiefs actually aren't that good, and the Eagles certainly aren't as good as we thought they were. Isn't it just a weird NFL though, but I still don't want to count the Eagles out. Like, there's part of me in the back of my head, I'm like, the Eagles could, like, if they rally around all this drama, maybe they build something out of this. It doesn't feel like it right now, but maybe down, you know, down a couple games or a couple weeks from now, maybe they'd figure it out. I don't know.
No, I mean, usually when you're listening to all the, like, major media places and they have these ex-NFL players, everybody always says, like, feeling in the locker room, you win games in December, you roll that right into January, but usually you said you start dropping games in December, and that's the scary thought, you know, those thoughts start creeping into the head, like, can we actually make a run in the playoffs? And as far as the AJ Brown front, I don't know how many times we've seen him throughout his career, every time he has a one-on-one, he goes up there, his hands seem bigger than the screen, and he just rips the ball right out of the sky. And I don't know how you can run Jalen Hurts damn near 38 times and just not throw the ball.
Did they really throw it or run it that many times?
No, that was completely arbitrary.
Okay. How many of those were tush pushes?
But the fact that you couldn't discern it is scary.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, honestly though, it's not a horrible thing if you're the Eagles, if you're an Eagles fan, because now that you fall down in seeding, yeah, you might have to play a road playoff game, but it's going to be against the NFC South winning, presumably the Bucs. Hope, I mean, maybe the Saints, maybe the Falcons, but presumably the Bucs. Either way, pick your poison on any of those three, and like it's not a bad first round. I mean, it could be worse if you were seeded higher, actually.
True, but Baker at home.
I mean,
he's cooking.
Yeah,
he's cooking.
I know you're big Baker guy. You are there, but still, I mean, would you rather play the Baconeers or potentially the Seahawks, Rams, or Packers?
Moving on.
Okay. Speaking of the Saints and the Buccaneers, the Saints beat them. The 49ers beat the Commanders. The Steelers beat the Seahawks. Mitch, any thoughts about that one? See, he's just going to pretend like he didn't hear that.
Ow.
He said the Steelers are frauds in the last episode, and I think he meant the Seahawks were frauds. Was that just a Freudian slip?
No, I still think the Steelers are frauds.
They might just sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah. They're probably going to get in, but they're going to get pooped on.
Hey, it's a different team with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I wasn't a Freudian slip. I think the Seahawks might be frauds. Maybe I'm just putting more stock into the Seahawks because the Lions just can't beat the Seahawks, but the Steelers are for sure frauds.
Broncos beat the Chargers. No surprise there. The Chiefs beat the Bengals. They clinched the division. That makes the Bengals 0-5 in all whites this season. So maybe they should just think about getting rid of those jerseys at this point. And then finally, in Sunday Night Football, the Packers took it to the Vikings. And Jordan Love had a game. And so everybody's been high on old Jordan Love. And as Andrew would say, all you need is love. So there you go. Week 18 in the NFL. Let's talk about what we got upcoming. In the records recaps, I'm sitting at 171-87, which is tied with the guy from the Sporting News. Just an absolute battle down the stretch between him and I. Mitch, 166-92. We've been neck and neck all season. It's been a great showing. And then Andrew down there at 150-108. Got yourself above 150, though. It's got to feel pretty good sitting above 150. 149 versus 150. 150 looks a lot better.
Yeah, looking down on all those people that aren't keeping track of their records. How about that?
I will say, I think you have eclipsed last season's win total. So I think you're actually doing better. And it's just because Mitch and I have done so well that you're down there.
I credit everything to the motivational poster that I've hung. Wayne Gretzky's famous quote, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Hell yeah.
You miss 100% of the games you choose the Patriots.
Saints or Falcons.
Baloney yeah. Slinger. Baloney Slinger. And I want to thank Mitch for elevating my game because I did way better than I did last year in my picks. So I can only attribute that to you bringing more knowledge to the show that has since educated me to a higher level.
And if the stats are correct, tied.
What?
That you don't want to say it? Tied the guy from the Sporting News?
Were you not listening? About
Oh no.
2 minutes ago?
I missed it.
You sure did. You sure did. Glossed right over that one. That's okay, bud. That's okay. Yeah, tied with the guy from the Sporting News. Vinny is his name. Yeah. So one last week to go. We've got week 18. And I will start us off with Steelers, Ravens. We've got a lot of backups in these games.
So we're counting this. Andrew, before you jumped on, I it's in the notes. I proposed to Ben, do we do this fantasy football style because there are so many people sitting players? Ben said, Andrew sucks at this. We have to give him a chance. I said, that's degrading to Andrew, but I will leave it to you guys.
Hey, did you not hear Mike Vrabel's press conference this week?
I can't wait for what's about to come out of your mouth.
Yeah, somebody asked him some stupid question like that about sitting players. He said, you know what, man? It sucks. It sucks to lose. And I think that's how pretty much every coach and every player in the NFL feels. So I don't think resting starters has a whole lot.
Okay. So,
but you're not going to catch up, so.
I said it earlier. Well, I didn't say it earlier. I said it earlier before we started recording, and that was Andrew went 13-3 in the last week of last season, so he thrives in these weird environments. I'm expecting a big week from him.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, Steelers, Ravens. We've got two Saturday games. The rest are on Sunday. Starting it off on Saturday, 4:30 Eastern, EBC and ESPN. Ravens are going to rest a lot of starters. Steelers are going to play for their playoff lives. Talking about a mid to upper 30s game in the weather department. 95% chance of rain, possibly turning to snow. They're watching a big system moving across the United States. Going to hit that East Coast and part of the Midwest, I believe. So we could have a lot of snow or at least a ton of rain. It's going to be precipitation of some sort. So I think that definitely favors the Ravens to sit their starters because that's a recipe for injuries. So 17-mile-an-hour wind in this one as well. I'm going to take the Steelers.
I will join you, Steelers, just trying to get in, and I think Mike Tomlin gets him going.
If Steelers have to win to get in, I actually, after I said that statement about the Steelers are getting it in, Andrew was shaking his head, so I pulled up in the other screen everyone's chances if they win. Even if they win, they only have a 63% chance of making the playoffs, so they must win. And even if the Ravens play their starters, it's probably going to be for the first half at the longest.
All righty, rolls us to Texans in Indianapolis taking on the Colts. Winner takes the division if the Jags lose. That's how it's worded there. The winner should get the wild card, the 6th or 7th seed if the Jags win. This is going to be tough. Colts coming off a big win against the Raiders to keep themselves alive. But I think CJ Stroud's going to solidify Rookie of the Year in this game.
Andrew said it absolutely perfectly. I 100% concur.
Yeah, Texans. I think this is going to be a really solid game, though. The Colts are a hungry young team, and so are the Texans. I just like D'Amico Ryans more, so I'm going to take the Texans.
rolls us into Bucks at Panthers, 1 p.m. on Fox. Bucks win the division if they get the win. Panthers have nothing to play for. Their owner is an absolute nut job who got the worst kind of punishment from the NFL. Panthers are just a joke of an organization. Come back home, Deuce. Come home, Deuce. We will still take you on the Lions. Bucks get it done.
Absolutely. I concur about Deuce Staley. I've got the Buccaneers as well, so I concur there too.
Joining you guys, Deuce Staley probably going to go to the Eagles. If anything, go back there, pick up some ground for Sirianni next year. Was there any, just wondering, was there anything for Tepper, any punishment? I know Mitchell kind of said something. Was there a punishment?
$300,000, which I believe someone did the math, was like 0.0001% of his net worth. He's worth $20.6 billion. I think the NFLPA is going to have a field day with that in the offseason.
Yeah, just wait till they see. It's like $40,000 if you wear the wrong socks if you're a player.
Right. All right. Browns at the Bengals. Browns are going to rest their starters, it sounds like. I think regardless of the outcome there, the Browns have a lot of depth, as they've shown all year. So give me the Browns.
Yeah, even though it is a 1 p.m. game, it is early enough for Joey, but they are going to keep him in his PJs. They might give him a hoodie to wear on the sidelines, but I still don't think they need him. The Bengals are dead. Give me the Brownies.
I'm going to take the Bengals. I think the Bengals have been competitive, even without Burrow. So Browns really aren't playing for anything. They needed Flacco to get going. So I think you're going to see a big offensive step back from the Browns, and the Bengals end their season on a positive note.
Absolutely. Jets going into New England, potentially taking on Bill Belichick in his last game. Ben's calling for potential snow. 30 degrees, 60% chance of her coming down. And 21-mile-an-hour winds. I'm going to take the Patriots, and I will say Bill will be back next year.
Okay. Andrew, just going against what everyone else is saying, I've got the Patriots. It sounds like Bill's done, so I like the Pats at home. Last game in New England, I think the Patriots have something to play for Bill.
I agree. I want to take the Jets in this one, but I'm going to take the Patriots, especially if Bill knows he's out. He's 100% going to not give the Patriots a better draft pick, and so by doing that, he needs to get a win here and bump them up in the draft order.
Falcons at Saints. Saints have to get this win if they want a chance to make the playoffs. I've got the Falcons. That was my gut reaction. The Saints have not been able to win the games that they need to win, only when they... It's just kind of like expectations are nothing for the Saints, but then when they win and they have a chance and people are like, oh, the Saints are, they lose. Not to mention the fact that Andrew's picking the Saints, so I feel great about picking the Falcons.
Might have to live change my pick here because that was pretty compelling, the argument, but I'm going to stay with the Saints.
I was hoping I would get a swinging gate that offered me a choice not to choose, But if I have to pick, I will take the Saints in this one merely because it's at home.
All right. Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans in Nashville, 1 o'clock CBS. Last one in the 1 o'clocks here. We got a Jags victory and a Texans loss equals a division winning. Jaguars. I hate the Jaguars right now because there's so much to be on. What's the word I'm looking for here? So much potential lost with the Jaguars right now. Like they should be so much better. All right, Jaguars, just get me out of here.
Yeah, like, so who's the QB in this game?
TBD.
For which
Trevor
team?
Trevor Lawrence did participate in practice today, trending towards playing.
All right, if that's the case, I will take the Jaguars. But you're right, Ben. They should be like a so much better team.
Ben, yeah, I think you nailed it. I'm also on the Jags.
Thanks.
I think regardless, well, I was trying to be nice. You sounded like an absolute dummy trying to spit out whatever you were trying to say. But still, yeah, I think regardless of Dags.
Can we do Duval one more time, even though it's not in Duval?
I think you ruined the whole game.
Should we just stop here and just call it good? Don't even move on to Bears Packers. Just skip the whole 14.
There might be a chance for Duval. We might get one more Duval.
Oh, they could get a home playoff game. You're right. It's a smart thinker right there.
We'll get out of this one. We'll evacuate to Green Bay. Bears rolling in. Bears are going to play bully ball. They are out of it. They've got the Panthers' first round pick. I think that defense is, honestly, that defense is scary. And Justin Fields is trying to keep his job in Chicago. I think he's completely turned around the fan base with his play the last few weeks. And honestly, I think they're just kind of playing for momentum with great draft picks.
Not just Justin Fields. I think Eberflus is coaching for his job. And I think there's just a lot going on here. I like the Bears because Fields is playing great. To Andrew's point, Eberflus has to get a win to have a hope to keep his job. And I just would love nothing more than for the second year in a row, the Packers to get booted from the playoffs at home in Lambeau. I want the Bears.
While I do love the opportunity to have that happen, I think the Bears, very strong in the second half. They've looked like a team with some promise. But the Packers look pretty solid against the Vikings last week, and I think the Packers are best off of a springboard game, and I think they're going to use last week as a springboard here, and Jordan Love has another good game and gets them a W.
Okay. Cowboys at Commanders, 4:25 on Fox. I hate to say it, I want to pick with my gut again. Not my gut, with my emotion, with my want. I think the Cowboys are going to win. They're going to officially steal the 2 seed from the Lions. It'd be great if they lost, and this maybe feels like one that they could lose, and I will not be upset at all. Ben is life-changing his pick for those at home. I think it's going to be the Cowboys, and again, the robbery is completed from the Cowboys.
Yeah, I want to take the Commanders so bad in this matchup. Like, it just feels like an opportunity for them to get one last win for old Ron Rivera. But they haven't won a game in 2 months. I looked back, it's almost been since Halloween that they won a game. They haven't even had much of a close game. They got bullied by the Cowboys last time, and I don't know. I guess I'll take the Cowboys.
Yeah, it makes me sick to do this, but Mitchell, thank you for keeping the old man honest there. I think they will steal the number 2 seed. It's going to add to that controlled fuel, controlled rage, as Dan put it. So I feel sick doing it. Cowboys, you boys want to boo me? Or we can boo each other? Boo.
Boo. Commanders. No, I'm just kidding. Or am I? Seahawks at Cardinals. We'll let Tommy figure that one out. Seahawks at Cardinals. This one's got playoff implications. Battle of the Birds for the second week in a row for the Cardinals. Seahawks have to win for any hope at the playoffs, of course. 4:25 on Fox. I went back and forth on this one. Another one, I want to take the Cardinals. But I think after beating the Eagles last week, they're going to be a little too high, and the Seahawks show them what's up.
Yeah, this one in Arizona, I think the Seahawks typically stay close to the sea, so that could be an issue here. Going to be too hot of weather for those guys. I'm going to take the Cards.
I've got Seahawks. One that I went back and forth on quite a bit. I think the Cardinals are another one of those teams, Andrew, that tend to betray you, so I feel a little bit better picking the Seahawks, but would not be surprised at all to see the Cardinals pull this out.
Can I say something to you? You said warm weather, but State Farm Stadium's indoors, so.
Okay.
So
they got to get inside from out. What are they going to just bubble boy themselves inside?
I'd love to see that.
And Mitch, to add to your point, I believe it's just Josh Dobbs that betrays me, not just strictly the Cardinals in general.
Man, did he have a Eagles-type fall from grace.
Yeah, some people probably forgot his name at this point. Andrew, one more time for the listeners.
You got it. You got it. You got it. This one should be an easy pick for all of us. Chiefs going into LA, take on, I think it's still Easton Stick and the coachless Chargers. Do I see that right? Chiefs are resting people, and they, I'm pretty sure they still need a win to get in.
They won the division.
They clinch? Okay. Whew. I forgot you said that. You had them in green. That's on me. Yeah, I'm still going to take the Chiefs, though.
Chiefs. I've got Chiefs.
And I was asking for you to say astronaut, and you just totally whiffed on it. So that's okay.
Chiefs for me, too. I didn't know that's what you were asking for.
Yep, Chiefs.
That's definitely not the last game you have to queue up, but we'll get there.
Week 18, folks.
Okay, Eagles at Giants. We've got snow early, potentially. Should be done by kick. This is another one, boys, that I went back and forth on. This just feels like if Sirianni has anything left in the tank, they have to win this game. I know it's technically not, but it feels like a must win for the Eagles. So that's why I picked the Eagles. But again, Giants are playing some teams really, really tough right now. Would not be shocked if the Eagles get upset. I don't know how they're 5-point favorites. That seems a little insane to me. But I think the Eagles do find a way.
5-point favorites. That's right up there with the Chiefs being 10-point favorites against the Raiders. We saw what happened there. So give me the G-man.
Man, you're playing some bully ball. I think the Eagles will find a way to get it done. They're going to win their last game before they head into the playoffs. They'll get it right.
Yep, probably right for both of you to take the Eagles there, but I just had to go the G's. All right, Broncos at Raiders. This one don't mean a whole lot. 425 on Fox. I will take the Raiders, and I will take, gosh, the name is escaping, Antonio Pierce to take the head coach job.
I will be right with you. The Black Hole has been playing some tough football. I got robbed last week, not really, but lost a tough one. Broncos kind of in shambles, so Raiders all the way.
I'm with you guys. I think the Broncos are in shambles. Sean Payton is making an absolute clown of himself. Somehow he's making people like Russell Wilson again, which I didn't think was possible, but Sean Payton is finding a way for nothing more than just not wanting to touch the Broncos. I like the Raiders in this one.
And this will be the last queue up for me today. Rams taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Rams resting some guys. It looks like we got Carson Wentz v. Sam Darnold in this game. This one's going to be wild. I'm still going to take the Niners in this one, though.
You guys probably just saw me in real time switch from the Rams to the 49ers. I, similar to Andrew, but not quite as embarrassing, I don't think, did not realize that the Rams had clinched a playoff berth. So I had the Rams, but Stafford's not playing. Carson Wentz. Like, it's 49ers. 49ers are going to win. It's Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I don't know who's resting more guys at this point. The Rams came out with their list today, and it was a ton. And the 49ers just way, way deeper of a team. So I'll take the 49ers.
Do we maybe just want to like swinging gate-ish this one and we all just vote for a tie?
Honestly, it could be one because it's like who wants it less at this point?
It's just such a weird... This one is like, it's so weird because you're right. They're both resting so many people. So now we're just voting on depth or just like a gut feeling, and maybe it's the home team, but I mean Sam Darnold's better than Carson Wentz, but this one's gonna be, who's gonna watch this game?
I like the wackiness. Okay. Give it to me.
All right. That's gonna bring us to the last game of the day, Sunday Night Football, last Sunday Night Football of the year in the regular season. In the regular season. We'll still do they get Sunday Night Football? The playoffs? Does that end?
We'll figure
it out. Bills at Dolphins. Dolphins win. They lock up the 2 seed in the division. Dolphins lose. They get 6 seed. Bills win, they get the 2 seed in the division. Bills lose, they get the 6-7 or out of here seed. 70 degrees and a 50% chance for thunderstorms. Tyreek Hill's house is literally on fire. These are all notes from our good friend leader, or Ben and leader. Ben, I did see Tyreek Hill's house was on fire. Couple thoughts. Tyreek Hill's house is massive. Massive. Yeah, a lot going on in this one. I went back and forth on this, and I'm still not settled on this. Let me just put the asterisk on this. I might be texting you guys and, like, changing my mind. If you guys want to scroll down, I threw in the strength of schedule for games played so far this year. Dolphins are last.
Whoa.
Dolphins are last in the NFL.
I would not have guessed that.
Not far away, Bills at 28. Very tough. There's a lot going on here. Right now, my pick is the Dolphins. It's subject to change for so many reasons because I think the Dolphins really haven't beaten anyone. And the Bills, I don't know. The Bills, just whether it's experience or Josh Allen being a better quarterback than Tua, you know, I'm not sure. I could go back and forth on this one. I'm Dolphins-ish.
Yeah, I think if this game was 6 weeks ago, I would no doubter put the Dolphins in the winning seat here. So I think you're right. This game's got weirdness written all over it. The Dolphins not tanking at the level that the Eagles are, but definitely not trending in the right direction. And the Bills have won a couple games here in a row and feeling a lot better about their playoff chances. We were talking about this team maybe missing the playoffs, being eliminated soon. And here they are with a chance to get the 2 seed, which is kind of crazy to talk about based on how they were midseason. So it's got weirdness written all over it. But the Dolphins at home feel like that's where my heart is. So Dolphins.
I feel like I said something at the beginning of the year, like the Bills were going to miss the playoffs. So I feel sick, but I'm going to take the Bills just because they need it more. I don't know if you guys also heard in that report that they said it was a house fire, and then the news reporter said, actually, that house is huge. That's more like a mansion fire. And then they zoomed in on Tyreek, and he was wearing a boot. So who knows what's going on with him? They may just shut him down.
I see Ben trying to mess with my pick. I've officially changed my pick to the Bills. Andrew, you stole it. You stole the words right out of my mouth. I was opening up my division picks to start the year, and then I remembered the entire debacle where the Bills were going to get last, but Josh Allen was great. Josh Allen was what Justin Herbert wanted to be, and I just got all these warm and tinglies. So I'm with you. I am back on the Bills because that would win them the division and make you a dunce.
Wow. All right. Tell us how you really feel.
Can't wait to see it.
Acute one. Cute dunce.
And so I just went back and counted, and if I did my quick napkin math correctly, we've got 5 games difference, Mitch. So if I get all 5 of our differentials wrong, that puts us at a tie, just so you know. And for the shareholders, too. Something to take home with them.
There's nothing I like more, I've said this before, than me and Andrew are both quiet, and I know it irritates you so much, but I love it, and I think the shareholders get a kick out of it, too.
Doesn't bother me. I don't know what makes you think it bothers me.
The fact that most of the time when it happens, you may put in a little quip about, like, okay, they're nodding their heads. Great listening.
Well, got to give them something. A little peek behind the curtain. Never hurt nobody.
Giving them something right now.
All right. Let's kick it to ourselves to talk college football. And then we'll outro the show after that.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Thank you, Tommy, for the edit and for us throwing it to us here in the college football segment. We've got the college football expert back again. He so perfectly predicted the last one. We brought him back. And Drew, you've mentioned that you are, in fact, on the team. Not on the team, but on the team. So are you already past the victory celebrations and you're already on to Washington?
Oh, not at all. You know, I mean, all I've heard for the last couple of years, you know, is how Michigan can't win a bowl game. So I'm gonna soak this up for a little bit, you know. So now moving on, but I hope the players are.
Okay, fair enough. What were your emotions during that game, especially when Bama took the lead early in the fourth quarter there?
Deja vu. I was pretty down bad, and anyone that was in the room with me could tell. It really was deja vu there for a minute. You know, if you look at the last 2 years, both playoff games, especially, you know, with how bad Michigan special teams was for this Bama game, it looked like for a second that Michigan was going to play their worst football game in the biggest game of the year. So
yeah,
I definitely had a lot of doubt going into that that last couple minutes of the fourth quarter.
Lots of miscues for sure. Do you think that makes it even more validating that they had all these issues and still won?
Oh, most definitely. And I mean, I think if you watch any sports show right now, a lot of people will be talking about the same thing. You know, everyone's saying the best team won, and I think it's kind of obvious that happened. I mean, same thing with last year. You know, no one really thought TCU was better than Michigan, but when you spot people points, you're not expected to win. And the fact that Michigan was able to spot Bama points and field position consistently throughout that game and still win, I think proves that the best team won.
How did you feel about the game starting off with what looked like a JJ McCarthy interception right off the bat?
Oh, I was lucky. I just didn't have anything in my hand that I could throw across the room, to be honest. And then I saw the replay and my hope came back, because for a second there it was all but gone. I mean, you first play of the game, if you're throwing a pick in your own territory, it's against Alabama, you're going to be in for a long day.
Drew, didn't a lot of it just feel like first half especially, and special teams all day, like the moment was just too big for certain guys? Like that, as soon as JJ threw that, I was like, moment's too big. Just trying to force it when you don't need to.
And that's what people have been saying for the last 3 years. I mean, that Michigan can't win a big bowl game. I mean, they've got over that Ohio State hump. But everyone's kept saying Harbaugh can't win a bowl game, can't win a big playoff game. And to be honest, I mean, I had my doubts there for a second too, because it just, the last couple of years, they look like a complete different team after they go through this bowl prep.
What did you think of the trick play, the quarterback throwback, and then barely got it in there though?
Well, I was very happy when McCarthy caught that, because at first second I was like, oh, that's hitting the ground and Bama's picking that up for a scoop and score. And then it quickly went to, is McCarthy hurt?
Because
when he caught that ball, and it was a millisecond later, he was getting rid of it. And then he did not look good when he got hit. I'm just lucky that it worked out, because I think 9 times out of 10, that's not going to work.
Yeah, especially in that big moment that. I mean, points were pretty crucial in this one.
A little worried about Donovan Edwards' completion percentage, because I believe right now, you know, he's 100% completion percentage, and looked like he was going to lose that for a second.
Yeah, I don't know what that equates to in a QB rating, but it's got to be perfect.
Well, and it quite literally didn't work. Like, they went to the well twice and got away with one. Although, I think a sneaky, like, underrated play by Corum, I know that the play fell apart, but if Corum doesn't get rid of that and pick that guy up, it's probably way worse.
Oh, are you talking about the flea flicker where he short-armed it?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that guy was coming in unblocked. So Corum knew he had to get rid of it. I mean, he was going to get tackled for a loss, honestly, if he didn't get rid of the ball. And he kind of T-Rex armed it back to JJ. And like I said, it was good of him to get rid of it quick. But we got lucky that ball bounced the way it did and JJ was able to recover it.
Switching gears to the Washington-Texas game. Boy, was I wrong. I'll put hand up. I thought Texas had this one.
There was a lot of people wrong on that one. I mean, going into that game, like I said, I thought it was a coin flip, and it was going to come down to whether Penix can continue to go above and beyond who he's playing. Because, I mean, I've been watching a lot of things, and when it comes to Penix, he has to outscore you. It's like their defense, they're going to give up points. You know, he's going to have to throw for a bunch of yards and a bunch of touchdowns. I mean, I can't remember what his exact yardage was, but I mean, I know he threw over for like 400 yards and it still came down to the last play of the game. So, I mean, two great playoff games. Couldn't really have asked for more.
I will say, I was so glad that Michigan was the earlier game and not the late game, because that would have been hard to stay up for. I was falling asleep halfway through the Washington-Texas game.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I would have not been going to work on a Tuesday if Michigan was playing that late game. But then again, they're never putting Bama in Michigan in the second slot.
Mitch, ben, did you stay up for it?
Stop. You know the answer to that. And you have the, I've talked about, I think we've talked about this. You have the best time zone for sports, especially for football. Like you're watching football, NFL football on Sundays starting at noon. And on Saturdays, you get to start at 11 a.m. You have the best time zone.
I think Mountain's got me by a little bit. I think Mountain's better than Central.
Ah, see, it's too early. Dude, you can't start college football. College football at 10 a.m. Yeah. is just too much, I think. I need time to wake up and breathe a little bit.
Yeah, get some chores done. Yeah, I know what you're all about. You're dad. Dad life.
Sleep.
But what's great is that the national championship coming up here on Monday starts at 7:30 Eastern, I believe. I think it's 6:30 my time, which is perfect. It used to be the late start. They finally reined it in. So I feel good about that.
They know with how many commercials they got to get in, you know. It's no longer going to get over any sooner.
Well, the Michigan game went into overtime, so obviously that makes it a little longer. But what was that game? I mean, it's like all of 4 hours, wasn't it?
What was that halftime? Well, I mean, that was insane.
I believe it got done around 9. Yeah, it was basically almost an NFL halftime or like Super Bowl halftime. It was a large break. And I did see also that Fox is getting into a bidding war to try to take over the playoff games. So if that goes through, well, you might as well take 2 days off from work because that game's going to go for about 8 hours.
Well, they got to pay for it somehow.
Exactly.
Drew, let me ask you the more important questions here. What did you think of Jim Harbaugh's mother and father's interview after the game?
To be honest, I didn't catch the full thing. I was on cloud nine, you know, jumping around. So I didn't see everything, so I can't give you a great answer on that one.
Did you? That's my first sighting of Papa Harbaugh.
And so he is cut from the same cloth, obviously. Definitely more similar to Jim than John. A little quirky, to put it lightly.
I mean, spitting like image. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy how similar.
Oh, most definitely.
Those are your important questions. I just want to make sure Pop Burgundy making sure.
For the listeners out there, he just gave the okay symbol. He's nonverbal right now. We had a couple shareholders in attendance. Shout out to the boys that were there. There were several. I think we all had folks that were there. We had a couple close friends. You did too, Mitch.
Yeah, who are you referencing? Can we name drop on here? Are we going to expose people and make them too famous?
I don't know. You know,
Drew, you can name drop. You can't get
that. That might take away from Cal's, you know, rocket building. So I don't know.
There we go.
Elon might not want his name getting out there.
ooh, yeah, definitely not talking about Elon Musk. We're talking about the other Elon too, for sure. Sorry, Cal. you guys got any more questions for the college football expert before we ask him to give us a score because he's so good at that?
No, minor related to the next game. I'm glad you got your celebrations in, Drew, though. That's awesome. It's been a long time coming.
I've already replayed the game a couple times, let's just put it that way.
I love it. Did you fast forward through any of it?
So I mean, right now, I mean, I was watching it online, so I was just watching primary highlights because everything gets taken down anytime it gets posted now, and I didn't DVR it, so luckily I didn't have to sit through the commercials.
I love it. So you just described probably the three of us every Monday after the Lions win. Who's what are the highlights and who's talking shit? Chris Sims.
Is he again?
We'll save that for later.
True. For you mean for earlier?
But yeah. Well, retrospectively, Tommy will edit that in.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Drew, you were very close on the score last time. I'm not going to ask you to predict a winner because I know you don't like to do that, so we're not going to ask you to do that. But Washington obviously had the higher scoring game with Texas, and Michigan, Alabama a little bit lower scoring, but did have the benefit of going to overtime to get some more points on the board. So where do you see this game between Michigan and Washington lying?
So I'm leaning towards, I mean, obviously Vegas, I believe it's a -4.5 in favor of Michigan right now. I saw a lot of the analytics and computers put out 30-24, 30-26, which, I mean, obviously jives with Vegas. I'm leaning more towards 34-23. I do think it'll be closer than the actual score in favor of Michigan. But I think towards the end, you know, Michigan's going to try to be bend, don't break. I think that's the best way to approach an explosive Washington team. So I'm going 34-23 Michigan. And like I said, it will be closer, but I do think Washington's going to be forced to pass up some field goals, you know, on fourth down. And that's where I think that's going to get that that score from.
So, yeah, so Drew is officially on Michigan to cover and the over for the folks at home.
No betting advice. 1-800 nope, gambler.
Let's just ride the hot hand, but that's yep. It's just facts.
Yeah, if they can eliminate a lot of those big plays that they had against Washington had against Texas, if Michigan can do that, I think they'll be sitting all right. Because what did they? How many sacks? Do you know, Drew? How many sacks they had against Bama? It was quite a few, right?
I believe six. Had Bama's sack total for like a game this year. I think they gave up six to Michigan.
I think it was five in the first 5 minutes, and then one in the second half.
Yep, they dominated. And I know, I mean, Bama's O-line isn't Washington's O-line. I mean, Washington's O-line is the Joe Moore Award winner this year. Bama started a couple. I mean, you saw Bama center, who's now recently in the transfer portal for good reasons. And then they started a true freshman at tackle, which I don't care if you're a five-star going to Bama, you can't start a true freshman on the O-line. It's just a different level of strength and different pace of game. But so, yeah, it's going to be the Washington-Michigan game. It's going to be Michigan's secondary, obviously, versus Penix. And I think they're going to look at it kind of like Ohio State 2021, you know, when they had all those stud wide receivers, and try to do that same type of thing. Bend, don't break. You know, I think Washington is going to get a lot of yards between the 80s, you know, and be held up in the 20s. So that's where my prediction's coming from.
Got it. I considered, you know, this game's down the road here in Houston. I considered looking at tickets, and I was quickly shut down once I realized the price. And I'm trying to look them up right now to see if they've gone up or down.
They did go down once Texas once the Texas game ended. For obvious reasons. I've been seeing a lot of, you know, 2,000 and change, obviously, but they were up there after Michigan won.
Yeah, they were the cheapest you could get in the door when I first looked at them right after the Michigan game was about right there at 2,000.
A minute there, they were sitting in the threes.
Oh my God, we're talking Taylor Swift prices here.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm seeing $900. That's a little bit more manageable. I might reconsider my options. Houston's only about 3 hours away.
Hey, just take the Michigan over, or Michigan to cover, take the over, you know, put a little bit of money on that, and it'll pay for your ticket.
I don't want to jinx this person, but I do know someone who put a future on Michigan to win it all at, like, the beginning of the season, and that exact thought process was, like, they were talking to me today, like, I'm so confident that I want to go just because I know my ticket will get paid for.
And I know a couple people like that, too. I mean, obviously, they're not trying to get the tickets, but I know a couple people that put those futures in because with a little bit of money on it.
I have a question. Not necessarily about that, because that could play out differently. But, like, if you ever had a bet that was a long shot and you were coming down to it, like, would you ever cash out before, like, if you had a big parlay that was missing one leg and you were waiting for the outcome, would you cash out or would you let it ride?
I think there's a lot of things that go into that. One, how bad do you need the money? Two, how confident you are. How confident you are in that that next leg. And then obviously what the cash out is, because I mean Vegas knows more than anything, but they'll make it worth your while to sit that out a little bit and not sweat it, just in case they can get their money back.
Drew nailed it. But most of the time I try to err to, like, if and that's always parlays for the most part, because you hit your legs and then it gets down to it and it's like, all right, like, now we got to make them an offer. But I think most of the time you just let it ride, because then it feels like bad luck.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's literally deal or no deal with Howie Mandel. And Andrew knows exactly what I'm talking about with that game. We had a lot of those instances come up at the arcade.
Hey, man, that game's a cheat. I know I followed those briefcases.
And that's why you can no longer play it at the arcade, because they got wise to us.
He's banned.
Seriously.
Love it. Love it. I'm any side requests. I think it's going to be a good game. Similar score in mind. I think Michigan's – I don't think Washington's faced a defense like Michigan's all year. And you saw, I mean, Bama had to start relying on Milroe's legs, and yep. Penix doesn't have that. So, I mean, he's going to throw, and it. I think you're right, though. I think it's going to be bend, don't break, and Michigan's defense is what's going to get him the natty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a good game. Washington's closest similar style of opponent was Oregon State, and that was one of their closest games of the year. So, yeah, I mean, the biggest matchup, like I said, Penix versus the secondary, obviously Michigan's D-line versus Washington's O-line, especially with Washington's running back, probable, Dylan Johnson. He had a leg injury, similar leg injury that he's had, I believe, twice this season. I saw on ESPN that he looks like he's going to try to go, but I think that's more similar to what Corum was last year against Ohio State. So we'll see what he's able to do.
Yeah, any other injuries on either side?
Michigan has a backup, but Michigan rotates so many guys on the D-line. One of their basically third-string D-linemen got hurt, and then one of their corners, or actually safety, starting safety, did injure his shoulder during the game, and he came back for a couple plays, but primarily the second string played after that.
Gotcha.
Now we heard about Washington's O-line versus Michigan's. What about Michigan's O-line versus Washington's defensive front?
I mean, that's something people don't talk about enough. And to be honest, I don't think they're very tough when it comes to, I mean, everyone knows Washington gives up a lot of yards on the ground, and that plays right into Michigan's hand. I think Michigan is going to go into kind of a similar style to what they did against, not necessarily Penn State and Iowa, but they're going to try to run the ball a bunch. They're going to try to milk some clock and limit the possessions that Washington does have with the ball. That's going to really put the pressure on Washington to score when they actually do, because Washington's used to getting the ball a ton, you know? So if they can limit their possession, I think Michigan will be sitting good.
Do you think Jim's going to take some responsibility away from JJ after his performance? Let Corum
say that again?
Go with, you think Jim's going to take some of JJ's responsibility, keep it on the ground a little more, take the ball away from him after his performance?
Not necessarily. I just think they're going to go a little more towards the run. And, I mean, you'll be able to find out real quickly if that's the case or not. There's still, I mean, Jim has all the confidence in the world in JJ, and he continues to say that. I just don't think, as you saw during the Alabama game, Michigan came out in a lot of, you know, Michigan's typically in 12 personnel, and you didn't see that very much in that game. You know, they did a little bit towards the end, but you saw him spreading out wide. You saw JJ clear in the pocket by himself. I think you'll see a little less of that against Washington.
All right. So last question to pose to you. Are you going to watch this game in the same place that you watched the semifinal, and are you going to wear the same thing?
Oh, come on. You know the answer to that. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Even had to make sure the girlfriend was going to be able to make it, too, because she's got to be there, too. So, I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious.
Yeah, no, just like the Harbaughs, too. Switching seats at the before the last drive. I love that part of the interview.
Oh, yeah.
We can relate. We can definitely relate. All right, Drew, thanks for being here. College football expert, everybody. We appreciate you being here, and let's go blue. Let's go blue on Monday against the Huskies, yeah, no, right?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. Go blue. Go Lions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
See ya.
See ya.
I like it, cut G.
All right, thanks, Drew, for being back on once again. We're looking forward to Michigan and Washington. Hopefully a good game. Let's go blue. Let's go Lions this weekend. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all the shareholders out there. Got to savor this football action over the next couple weeks, folks, both in college football and NFL, because the days are numbered. So savor this football action. And we talked about it in the last episode. We got a couple resolutions here for 2024 Lions. Talked about how crucial we had picked the ones last year. So I'll start with mine for the Lions, and that is to get a cover corner and hold teams to under 20 points on a consistent basis. You've had 4 of 16 games this year under 20 points, and some of those games were against some pretty bad opponents. And so even the Panthers, I think, put up 24 against the Lions. So that's a key for me and a resolution I have for the Lions next year.
I stand with you. They need a corner very, very badly. Very, very badly. And my second is going to be repeat division winners. I mean, it would just be awesome to I mean, I think everyone is under the impression that the Lions are the best team in the North, but the way that the Packers are trending, it's just like with Alabama. All of a sudden, everyone's going to be like, no, Packers are back. Packers are back. So I love the cover corner, but win the division again. I love listening to you guys. I'm just your biggest fan. I got such a giggle out of what year resolution we were trying to figure out. That was a good laugh.
Well, excuse me if the playoffs are uncharted territories, and I don't know what year they typically come in. And to follow up on those, I'm basically with you guys. You know, it's defending the North and keeping the North for years to come. So this year in the drafts, you know, we're not going to be as high as we typically are. So it's all about future growth here for us and getting your guys paid on the back end. We've got a lot of cap space. We know we've got a lot of cap space, but we got a lot of guys that are going to need to get paid and quickly. So secure that talent and keep building for the future and win in the North year after year.
I've got breaking news. Did you guys see that the Pro Bowl rosters came out?
I didn't see it, but I know the Lions probably got at least, I'm going to guess, 7.
Okay, give me the offense. There's 3 on offense. I'll give you that right out of the gate.
Penei Sewell.
Yep.
Amon-Ra.
Nope.
Really? That was going to be my second guess as well. I thought that was cool, Andrew.
The linemen?
Well, I'm also looking at starters. So
right. I'm sure St. Brown's a
reserve.
Sam LaPorta. Yeah.
Yep.
What's the other lineman, Ben?
It's a lineman, not a back, right?
I'm sure of it.
I'm fairly sure of it.
It can't be Gibbs or Montgomery.
I'll take Taylor Decker. Taylor Decker.
Frank Ragnow. I feel like that one's pretty easy.
Yeah,
let me tell you one that's going to upset you guys. DeAndre Swift is the starting running back.
Oh, that's crazy.
Ugh, that's disgusting.
Number 2, I should say. But okay, defense.
Aiden? No. Really?
Yep.
Crazy.
And special How many teams? More?
Oh, no more on D?
No.
Jalen Reeves for special teams?
Ding, 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 ding.
Let's go.
Yeah, JRM. So
good for
let's
him.
See. That's 1, 2. Is that 5 total? 6 total?
5 total. Yep.
Okay. And then St. Brown's got to be a reserve. I'm trying to think who else could be a reserve. Maybe Jack Fox. Well, they only do one puncher, so I'm sure Jack Fox didn't get it then.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? That includes the reserves. And I think it's because of the flag football format now. So you've got... Yeah, so I don't know that they have... They don't have any starters.
That's disgusting.
Really? Wait, those weren't starters?
The only starter is Jalen Reeves Maven.
Wow. Oh, that's disgusting.
That's pathetic.
Well, just more bulletin board material.
Penei Sewell not being a starter is gross. Yeah. It is Trent Williams and Lane Johnson in front of him, so it's like, okay. Jason Kelce is a legend,
so I'm not
upset about that one.
Even though Sam LaPorta has had a much better year and Kelsey's had a terrible year.
AFC. Well, NFC? This is.
Okay, sorry.
You were talking about the other Kelce over Ragnow?
Sorry. Yeah, you did.
Kelce over Ragnow.
Sorry, I got real upset right there.
To be honest, more to me, which, you know what? I was going to say Montez Sweat starting over Hutchinson, but. Hutchinson has, like, he's gotten pressures, but if Hutchinson has 2 more sacks, I think you have more of an argument, but hasn't gotten home enough.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, but true. All right, well,
there you have it.
That's a little sneaky segment that we didn't have in the show notes. Shout out to Mitch for including those. I did remember seeing that now that you said that those were coming out tonight. So yeah, a little Easter egg here at the end of the episode for you dedicated shareholders. We appreciate you, and we're looking forward to what's in store in 2024. Let's go Lions, week 18, finish strong. And let's go Blue 2.
Let's go Duval.
Number 15. Whopper, 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 Junior, double, triple, Whopper, flame grill, taste with perfect toppers. I rule this day. Lettuce, mayo, pickle, ketchup, it's okay if I don't want that impossible. Oh, bacon, Whopper, any Whopper, my way, Whopper, my way. Whopper, 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 Junior, double, triple, Whopper, flame grill, taste with perfect toppers. I rule this day.